So we left off yesterday. We were just trying to find the case of the Kadosh Benos Milva. The Gemara tells us that even though the starting point is if I'm a Kadosh, a woman, with merely being mochel, the chov that she owes me, that's not going to work. But if I somehow change the wording a little bit, and I make it into a Kadosh Benos Milva, everything's going to be fine. So the question is just, what's the case? So the Gemara gave us a very cryptic phrase. The Gemara says, the Arvach Lazimna. It has something to do with extending the time of the loan. So what does that mean? So Rashi explained that Arvach Lazimna means that it's worth it for a person to extend the loan a little bit. If I know I have to pay back a chov on June 1st, and I'll be very, very happy to have it delayed till July 1st. So we can almost capture that moment, capture that joy, capture that benefit, and rewrite the Kedushin rather than be Mekadosh with the Mechidus HaMaos, be Mekadosh with the Hanos HaHarvachas HaZman. But according to Rashi, nothing really happens. At the moment of Kedushin, there's no money that's being given because it doesn't have to be money that's being given. The Kedushin is the Hanos itself. However, when we saw the Rambam yesterday, we saw that the Rambam also talks about Hanos HaMilveh, but the Rambam changes the case drastically. The Rambam says that at the time that I give the money to the woman, so when this cash is actually being given, I stipulate at that time that, by the way, I really would only lend you money for a month. I'm going to extend it for another 2 months, and that benefit that you're getting for the extra time and the loan, I want that to be, in a sense, the case of Kiddushin. So the Rambam also talks about Hanah. The Gemara talks about Hanah. Whereas, according to Rashi, so there was no Mesiris HaMos, there was no Mesiris HaMos, there was no physical handing over of money, because that's not the focus. The focus is on the Hanah. The Rambam, for some reason, understood that there has to be a Mesiris HaMos that's coming simultaneous with the Hanah that's been offered from the Chosin to the Kala. The Rambam makes reference to the other pshat. He calls it his Rebbeim's pshat, which is in fact the Rif's pshat, similar to Rashi's pshat, and the Rambam categorically rejects that pshat. So if you take a look at the top of the page in the sixth of the Maamar Kamos, the second back of the page, so right at the end of the Rambam, the end of the sixth of the Maamar Kamos, so the Ravid takes issue with the Rambam. The Ravid, three lines from the top, so Savas Ravid. So when the Rambam writes a pishra ba'isim anos l'vadvamshin ro l'shaman, said that which the Rambam references, the Pshat of the Rif, which is basically the Pshat of Rashi, that Hanah stands on its own 2 feet. Omer Avram, the Rabbi says, Rishonim Pirshu, the Rabbi says, let me refer to you what the Rishonim did say. Kugon, Shegiya Zmana Milvali Para, it comes time for her to pay back the Chov, Uma Osav Biyada Mizumanim Lefroa. She has the money in her hand, she's ready to pay. And she would be more than willing to extend that loan. Here she's been scrounging around, collecting $100, about to pay, and she's thinking to herself, you know, I really could use this $100 for another couple of weeks. I would definitely give $5 to somebody to give me the ability to hold on to this loan for another couple of weeks. So he says, Tahar says, great, I'm going to be that someone who you're going to give the $5 to. But I don't want your $5, I want you to marry me. So comes the Ravid and says, that's the Mekadosh Benos Milva, which is almost a cross between Rashi and the Rambam. The Rambam says that a Nos Milva has to take place at the time of the original giving of the loan. The Rashi and the Rav seem to say that the Nos Milva can take place anyway along the line. Anyway, she owes him the money for the last 20 years, and she's nowhere ready to pay back yet. And all of a sudden now he comes and he says, Mekadosh Benos Milva, that's going to work. So Rashi's insisting on a physical giving of cash. I'm sorry, the Rambam's insisting on a physical giving of cash. Rashi and the Rif are letting you get away with any shape or form, Hanos, Avachas, Azman. And the Ravid's walking the tightrope. The Ravid's saying, you don't need literal handing over of cash. There has to be something here. Where is the something? She has the cash. That means she's ready to give the money back. So it's almost like we view it as if she already gave the money back. And he's turning around to be Mekadosh with Hanah that's accompanying the Mesiris HaMos. Says the Ravid, that's the Kiddushin. Zelda Arvach Lazimna, says the Ravid, that is what the Gemara meant when it says Arvach Lazimna. So we have three Pshatim in the Rishonim. What's going on? Everybody agrees that there has to be some dimension of Hanah here. The Gemara says Mekadosh Hanah. The question is, when are we identifying? What is the identifying time of this Hanah? Mechilas Milva, according to Rashi and Rif, anytime. Money was lent 20 years ago. According to the Rambam, it must take place specifically at the time of the giving of the money. According to the Ravid, it doesn't have to be at the moment of the giving of the money, but it has to be at the end. It has to be at the time when she's ready to pay back the chov.
When the Gemara asked, what's the case of Hanah, why didn't he just say the simplest case
Right, let's go to Rashi. Right, according to Rashi, that's the problem. Right, according to Rashi, the Gemara should have said that. What is it? It's almost like a chiddush that not only if you're giving hana of the mechilas milveh, but even if you're merely giving hana of just a couple of days more, that's also a chiddush. It's almost like a chiddush lashmina. So there is a Rambam in the seventh of the Mamre Kamos, a Rambam that's relevant in terms of Ilchus Ribbis. It's an important Rambam in and of itself, and this Rambam is going to impact on everything that we're talking about. So the Rambam in the seventh of the Mamre Kamos, Berek Vavalach Gimel, Horu Rabbosai, my Rabbeim have Paskin, and whenever when the Rambam says Horu Rabbosai, that's also an indication that it's not something that's crystal clear in the Gemara itself. Here the Rambam is quoting his Rabbeim and following what his Rabbeim is saying, Horu Rabbosai, Shamal Ves Chaveiro, if Reuben lends Shimon $100, Uliachas man tava chovo, and then at a later point he comes to collect his chov. There was no ribbis yet. I lent you $100 in order to return your $100. No questions of ribbis. V'yamar lo halova, and now at that point the lova doesn't have money to return to pay back the loan. The lova says dor bechatzeri ad she'achsel chachovcha. Listen, I'll do you a favor, says the lova. Leave me alone for a couple of weeks. I have an extra apartment. Live in my house for a couple of weeks, rent free, and I'll pay you back. I'm going to pay you back the full amount of the chov. In effect, what the lova is giving was ribbis. Means I lent you $1,000, and you're giving me back $1,000 plus a week of rent free occupancy. So comes the Rambam in the neighbor's Rebbeim and says, "What's the status of that deal?" Hareza avak ribbis, says the Rambam, that's the dust of ribbis. It's not ribbis proper. The term avak ribbis is always used to describe something that's not ribbis min haTorah. Ribbis ketsutza is ribbis deraisa. Avak ribbis is ribbis drabon. Ketsutza means that set. It was actual set in stone, an amount, a rate for ribbis. That's ribbis ketsutza. This kind of a ribbis is not a ribbis deraisa. Why not? I lent you $1,000. I'm getting back $1,000 plus. So the Rambam develops the following principle: lefi shelo kotzatz b'shas halvoa. Because the agreement to pay back the chov was not written in, was not decided, was not agreed upon at the time of the halvah itself. It's something that developed later. Says the Rambam Chiddush Gadol, when is there ribbis d'oraisa? Not only if I give you $1,000, I get back $1,000 plus, but that plus has to have been determined at the time of the loan itself. Any added on benefits of ribbis that take place anywhere along the line of the transaction, with the exclusion of the shas halva, by definition are only ribbis derabbanan. How did the Rambam's Rebbeim know this? It's a posel chumash. Shnemar lo siten loy b'neshech. The Torah is makbid that you're not allowed to give the loan as kaspecha lo siten lo b'neshech. The Torah cares about the shas, the sita samos. That is a prerequisite for ribbis deraisa. So comes the Raivin and says, ho rabbis, eh? Quotes the Rambam, Hora Bosa Shemavus Chavero, Ashinos in the Menesh, Omer Avram, Chay Reishi, like a Shvua, Lo Yotha Hayru. He says, they're wrong with the Rabbeim, what the Rambam said, and this one is not correct. Why? Sheim Higiyaz Mana Piraon, says the Ravid, if the time of paying back has already arrived, the Arvach Le Zimne, and now the Malva is so kind to extend the loan in return for some kind of a benefit, name it some kind of a ribbis. Mishum ha'idira, the reason why the lova is extending the loan is it's at the end of the loan, and he's willing to extend it a couple of more days and give him the rights to live in his house in lieu of a payment of ribbis. Says the Ravid is the klal kishas matan mos tamya. That is the shas matan mos. Shas matan mos doesn't mean literally when I pick up $100, take it out of my wallet and hand it to you. That's the first of the shas matan mos. But there's a second shas matan mos. What is that? Shas apiron, when the time of repaying the loan arrives, and I don't repay the loan, the halacha views it almost as if I did repay, because if the shas apiron is it says on the document payable on June 1st. So when June 1st arrives, it's as if you pay me back the loan, and then I give it back to you for another couple of days. So says the Ravid, you can have multiple shas halvos. You can have the original shas avah, and the shas piron also doubles as a shas avah as well. And therefore, the Rambam's Rebbeim are fundamentally right, even though they're not practically right. They're fundamentally right that in order to be ribbis deraisa, it has to be b'shas nesina, but the definition of shas nesina is much broader than his Rebbeim. According to the Rambam and his Rebbeim, shas nesina means literally the very beginning of the transaction. according to the Ravid, at a later point, if it's the Shas Piron, can also double as the Shas Tesinus Amos. But now the Ravid comes to the punchline. That's why we're learning this Ravid now. Says the Ravid two words at the end of the seventh of the Mamakamos. V'kiddushin yochichu. Says the Ravid, proof that I'm correct, that even Shas HaPiron is considered to be Shas Tesina. Hilchos Kiddushin, Maseches Kiddushin, I Kiddushin Avavim Abeis, proves that I am correct. What in the world did the Ravid mean with that phrase, Kiddushin Yochichu? So all the Mepharshim and the Rambam and the Ravid say, this Ravid in Hilchos Ma'av V'loive can only be understood in light of the previous Ravid in Hilchos Ishus. If you remember that the Rambam told us in Hilchos Ishus that in order for Kiddushin to take place with Mekadosh B'Hanos B'Chilas Milveh, it has to accompany the Nesinas HaMa'os. I have to literally hand the money under the chuppah and say, I'm a kaddish you with the hanos, I'm a chil of extending the loan. There must be a physical, tangible giving of money for the kiddush to be chal. And the Ravid was the one who walked the middle ground. He said, you don't need a literal nesinus mos. You need an up in the air kind of nesinus mos. You need a theoretical nesinus mos. And what was in the nesinus mos of the Ravid? So if you remember back in the sixth of the Mamakavus, the Ravid said that higiyas manamal milvali parah. Once is the Shas HaPiron? Once it's time to pay back the loan, and now the loan gets extended, according to the Ravid, that's a new loan. So it's a whole new way of looking at loans, according to the Ravid. I lent you money till June 1st, payable on June 1st. When June 1st comes and you don't pay me back the loan, so any extension of the loan is considered to be a new loan, according to the Rambam, a new loan. I lent you money payable June 1st. If you're not paying back the loan on time, I'm a nice guy to give you another month. That's a continuation of the previous loan. The Shas Matan Mos was the original 6 months before. According to the Ravid, no. Whenever the loan is payable, that's the end of the Halvah. You want to keep the money? I'm willing to let you keep the money. We can negotiate a new loan. The new loan doesn't have to take tangible dollars out of my pocket and hand it to you. We'll just say, hocus pocus, ki'ilu, you paid me back, and ki'ilu, I'm re-lending you again. So the Ravid is l'shitasai. The Ravid holds of this new concept called a brand new loan that is created at Bishas HaPiron without anything actually happening. Says the Ravid, just as in Maseches Kedushin, you can be Mekadesh at that moment. Because the Ravid says, I also need a Shas Halvah for Kedushin to be chal, but I have a broader definition of Shas Halvah than the Rambam. So to the Ravid is l'shitasai in Uchos Mavah V'loiveh, that yes, the Rambam's Rebbeim and the Rambam are right, that you need a Shas Halvah for Ribbis D'Oraisa to take a place, but Shas Halvah need not be a literal Shas Halvah. It could be a later, a restated Shas Halvah as well. So when all the dust settles, this Machlokes Rambam and Ravid, Onim, everybody's getting involved in this discussion, is really a fundamental question about how do you view a loan? Do you say that I lent you $100 until June 1st, and that's it, at kan v'lo yoseh. June 1st comes, the loan is up, done, finished. You want to extend the loan? It's a new loan. That's the Ravid's understanding. According to the Rambam, there is no such thing. But now getting back to Ashuk in terms of Kiddushin. So at the end of the day, we discovered some kind of a case of Mekadosh B'Hanos Milveh. And the Gemara said that although the Kiddushin is going to work, it's not a very good thing to do. You shouldn't be doing it mid-Rabbanan because it just doesn't look right. It's what's called Haramas Ribbis. So come to Rishonim and bother with the Kasha. Wait a second. Why is this only Ribbis D'Rabbanan? This should be Ribbis D'Oraisa. What happened at the end is, I lent the woman $100. She's going to pay me back $100. But in addition to the $100, I'm also going to get a wife. Ribbis D'Oraisa. What's the difference? Please don't repeat to your wives there. What's the difference between whether at the end of the day I walk away with an extra $5 or I walk away with a wife? What's the difference? Ribbis doesn't have to be cash. Ribbis can be living in your house. Ribbis can be a service that you provide. Ribbis can be anything. As long as I benefited above and beyond what I lent you, that's Ribbis D'Oraisa. So come to Rishonim and bother with the question. We made the case so great to make the Kiddushin Michal, but now we have to take a step back and say, wait a second, we're guilty of overkill. We made it so bad. We made it so chob. We made it so awesome. Why does the Gemara only call it a Ribbis D'Rabban? It should be a real Ribbis D'Oraisa. So we take a look at the eighth of the Marma Kamos. So the Rashba poses this question, this is the end of the first line, the eighth of the Ramakamos. Vigala Medak, one could raise the following question about Asugya. Maishta Dalad Behei, Tikayov Lahai Tofina Bikidusheha, Umaishna Ki Arvach Lazimna Bikidusheha, Hocha Vahocha Issa Havile Beribis Muvaso. Says the Rashba, what's the difference whether I originally said to the woman, I'm lending you $4 and you'll give me back $5? And instead of giving me the five, she gives me herself. What's the difference between that? And I lend her $100 till June 1st, and then I extend the loan another week, and she gives me herself. Says, would anybody say that I could extend a loan and take a dollar for extension of a loan? We have one word to describe taking money for extending loans. It's called ribis. So comes the Rashba and says, what happened to ribis deraisa? V'yesh lomar, the Rashba says, he is so, not just relevant for ribis, but relevant for all Maseches Kedushin. Kaven de gufa mamish lo kanilei, lo havi ribis, el she'asa mishim haramas ribis. Says the Rashba, fundamental principle, that in order to violate ribis, the malv has to walk away with something. The malv has to have gained something in dinei mamonos. Now, the gaining in dinei mamonos doesn't have to be tangible dinei mamonos. It doesn't only mean I gave you 100 and you gave me 120. If I give you 100 and I could live in your house for a week rent-free, that's called a monetary gain. Anything that's monetary gain, anything that now the malv has something to walk away with in chashe mishpat, that's called ribis deraisa. The fact that he now has a wife, that is not ribis deraisa, because he doesn't own her. Even though the Mishnah calls it isha niknes, niknes doesn't mean literally niknes. It's not niknes legufa. Her guf, her body, her very essence, doesn't belong monetary-wise to the husband. And therefore, that cannot possibly constitute ribis deraisa.
But didn't he say the kruta?
Right, correct. Oh, that's the second question. Then the second question is, forget about her. Didn't he walk away with the pruta? So we're going to have to talk about that. That's going to be the next half of the question. But just in terms of her herself. So here, if I lend you $100 and you give me back $100 and you buy me a gift. So I lend you $100 and you give me back $100 and you buy me, you buy me a box of candy. So that's ribis deraisa, potentially, because I'd have $100 plus a $10 box of candy. That's mamonos. Here I lend you $100. I walk away with $100 plus a wife. It's a wonderful thing, worth a lot more than candy, but in dinei mamonos, it's not worth anything. Dinei mamonos, that's not considered to be a kanah legufa, and therefore that falls short in terms of being ribis deraisa. That's the yesod of the Rashba. Notwithstanding what the Rashba says, other Rishonim ask the same question and give a different answer. So we take a look at the Ritva in the ninth of the Rambam Kamos. This end of the second line, the Ritva is bottom with the exact same question, so it's the end of the line. The imipnei shemakna lo atzba, how can you tell me that it's not ribis deraisa? Isn't she giving herself to him? Harehu kona adon lo atzmai, says the Ritva, no. She's not giving him something. He's becoming obligated to her. Why is that? In terms of pure dinei mamonos, it costs more to be married than to be single. I'm not advocating for marriage. I'm just saying that that would not be a good thing for me to be talking about this time in our Sovlovsky greater family constellation. So we're all for marriage, but the chassid has to know that at the end of the day, it's going to cost him some money. Why? Because yes, it's true that he's quote-unquote getting a wife. On the other hand, he also becomes chayev in some real dinei mamonos. She'er, ksus, he has to support her, he has to buy her clothing, he has to be her food. He writes a long, long, long ksuba, but a zon v'afarnes lechik yehuchas guvin yudon d'zonen and mefarsen. He's signing off on a lot of money. Andrew, you got the, I'm trying to look around, probably the most recent person here to get married. So there's a lot of money that he signed off on. So comes the Ridvan says, how can you call that ribis? How can you say that he lent her $1,000 and now he walked away with $1,000? Plus a wife. True, says the Ritva. But he also walked away with $1,000. You have to look at the. I'm not a businessman, but I imagine in business you have to have different columns and see what the losses, the gains are. I'm saying just pure mominous. So yes, he had a wife. He also has now a new credit card. And he has other things that is going to have to pay. So comes Ritva and says, "Api din." That's not called ribis deraisa. So this is a fascinating machlokes that's now taking place between the Rashba and the Ritva. That the Rashba didn't say what the Ritva says. The Rashba says almost broader than the Ritva. The Rashba said the reason why it's not ribis deraisa is because he doesn't own her in the first place, because it's not kidding aguf. So that by definition doesn't even get into the discussion of being a ribis deraisa. The Ritva says no. It is a potential ribis deraisa. There is a red flag here. It is a potential of a kidding aguf in a sense. But the Ritva saying is that And Achareke Chosakol, he's losing more than he's gaining. Therefore, it falls short of being Ribbis Deraisa. So what is the point of contention? What is the point of Machloikis between the Rashba and the Ritva? So this sounds like there's something very, very basic taking place here, which is something that we spoke about all the way back. I mean, literally, like one of the first things this year, how do you understand the relationship of marriage from the vantage point of Dinim Mamonis? What, if anything, of Dinim Mamonis is really taking place in terms of marriage? Does the husband, and even in any sense of the word, own his wife? Is there any dinim mamonis that's taking place? Well, the relationship of marriage is nothing with dinim mamonis. It's a heter, it's an ezer, it's ishus. The terms that we use, isha dikneis, those kinds of things, are just terms that we throw around because we need some kind of a reference point in terms of kinyan and kesef. But in terms of, is it a real kinyan? It's not a real kinyan. So that seems to be the nekudas of machlokes. Oh, that's the throwback what we spoke about earlier. So that seems to be the machlokes, the Rashba and the Ritva. So the Rashba is saying that don't even discuss, I'm not even interested, said the Rashba. There's no way in the world that there's any ribbis deraisa here, because quite frankly, there's no dinim mamonis here. Marriage is not dinim mamonis. Therefore, there is no ribbis deraisa. And the Ritva is saying, no, that's not a good enough reason, that in theory there should have been ribbis deraisa here. And if not for the fact that he has to support her, so there would have been ribbis deraisa here. He doesn't own her. He does own her, according to the Ritva. That is considered to be a type of an ownership, even in Dinim Mamonis. So this Machlokes and Rashba and the Ritva has impacted several sugyas in terms of Maseches Kedushin. One of them was something that we spoke about at the very, very, very beginning of the year. We spoke about the first Mishnah Kedushin says Isha Niknes, and the Gemara is Medayek. Why does the Mishnah speak about Isha Niknes? It's not really the woman doing anything. It's really her Ish Kona. The woman is passive under the chuppah. The man's the one who gives the ring. So why did Chazal describe it as Isha Niknes? So the Gemara explains in Kedushin Abayis to highlight the fact that you require Dasa Isha, that you cannot be Mekadosh, and you can't beat the woman up and hand her a ring and call it a day. You have to get her Das, you have to get her consent in order for the Kedushin to be Chal. So that din, that you have to be Mekadosh and Isha Miratzona, that's a given. That's the first Mishnah Maseches Kedushin. That's the Dava Pashut. But what is not so Pashut is why. How did Chazal know that? What's the source for that din? We're not questioning the truth of the din. We just want to understand how Chazal got to that point. How do you know that Kedushin has to be Midaita? So Rashi, in two places, writes two very, very different things. Rashi, in Maseches Kedushin, a little bit later on in the second paragraph, writes, you know why Kedushin has to be Midasa Isha? Deba'in and Da'as Makna. Because anytime you sell anything, you have to have the seller's consent. I always say over to the boys in yeshiva, I said, I want you to just tell me in one word, what does it mean to make a sale without das machne? What is the halach equivalent of a mechir without a das machne? It's only one word. It's called gezela. It means if I steal something from you, that's a mechir without das machne. It means it's not chal. So Kasotu Rashi writes, how did Chazal figure out that you need das isha? Great chok, grandiose understanding. You're not possible. You're not halach mashu dinai. It's varm pshutim. How in the world can anybody sell anything without consenting to the sale? That's stealing. So comes Rashi and says, that's the source in halacha for the requirement of Dasa Isha. Who's the sale? Who's the seller? What's the sale? What's the Dinim Mamonis? Rashi's clearly learning that when the woman gives up of herself to the husband, when she was born, a little girl was born, so she's B'shus Ha'av. She turns 12 and a half, now she becomes B'shus Atzma. She has a Dinim Mamonis chus to be Mekadosh herself. She can accept Kiddush from anybody. At some stage in her life, she makes the conscious decision that she's going to give up that right. She's going to transfer that right of ability to accept Kedushin and hand it over to the Chassan, i.e. by accepting Kedushin, by receiving Kedushin from this man. So Rashi learns that transferring of Zechuyos of Kedushin is a Dinim Mamonis type of transaction, and it's bound by all the limitations of Chayshe Mishpat, and the ABCs of Chayshe Mishpat are, it has to be done B'Shus HaMoiche, B'Shus HaMakne. So according to Rashi, there is a very real Chayshe Mishpat, very real Dinim Mamonis, a monetary change in her status, and that is reflected by the requirement that is expressed by the requirement of Das Aisha. So that is very much in line with what the Ritva is saying. The Ritva is saying there is a Mechira going on, there is a monetary change in status taking place. It is overshadowed by the obligations that the husband now takes on to the wife, therefore it falls short in terms of the Ribbis requirements, but to ignore it, to say it doesn't exist, is not correct. The Rashba, who is completely ignoring, completely making little of any mumminess, any transaction that's taking place, seems to be in sync with the different Rashi. Rashi, Maseches Yevamos Daf Yutes, has a whole different source for Dasa Isha. How do you know that you need Dasa Isha? So Rashi says it's the Pasuk in Chumash. Where's the Pasuk? Torah describes Kedusha as being V'yatsa mi beiso, V'holcha v'hoysa li shacher. A holcha b'hoisa has the connotation that she gets up on her own 2 feet and she walks over to somebody else and she accepts kedusha from that somebody else. That doesn't sound like she's being dragged into the chuppah. A holcha b'hoisa, she gets up and she does it willingly. Ritzona isha, it's like gzer sakasov, says Rashi, that you require dasa isha. Why did Rashi need gzer sakasov? Isn't it obvious to any momentous? I don't need a pasuk to tell me that I need das hamoche to sell a car, to sell a house. It's a svar b'yam, it's dvarim pshutim. Why does Rashi need a pasuk? The fact that Rashi in Yevamos quotes a pasuk, that seems to highlight the fact that getting married is not really selling anything. There really is no monetary transaction going on. It's a chalois in halacha. It's a chalois ishus. It's a seve heter. So one could argue, it's a chalois ishus. Do you need the isha to participate, to give a das? I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Yibum is also a chalos ishus, doesn't need das isha. A get is the opposite, is the breaking up of a chalos ishus, doesn't require das isha min haTorah. So how do you know which ones do and which ones don't? So the answer is you have to look at the Chumash, you have to figure out, find the pasuk, find the Lach Masina, find the source for which chalos ishus requires das isha and which don't. So Rashi did the homework, he discovered what he thinks is the correct pasuk. So Rashi in two places is giving us not just two different sources for Das Isha, but giving us two totally different models of what marriage is. According to Rashi in Kedushin, marriage is very transactional. According to Rashi in Maseches Yevamos, marriage is very relationship. One is Dinim Omenus, one is not really Dinim Omenus. Why Rashi gives you two different images which are almost contradicting to one another, that's another question. So the Chassam Sofer tries to explain why both elements, he claims that Bedas Rashi, both aspects are true, and the Chassam Sofer shows you in each sugya why Rashi went out of his way to highlight each one. For the purposes of the sugya in Yevamos, it happens to be that the Isha's part is more important. For the purposes of Kiddush, it happens to be the Mamonis more important. So the Chassam Sofer is Mamish Bedayik in each Rashi, why Rashi said what he said in each place. But the fact that there are two potential models for marriage exists in Rishonim, and that seems to be the root of what the Rashba and the Ritva are talking about here as well. So everybody agrees there's no Rebbe Zeraisa here. The question is, why not? So the Rashba said his reason, because there's no transaction, there's no mamonis. The Ritva says, no, there is mamonis, but it's overshadowed by the other mamonis that's coming from the man to the woman. So this machlokes in details in the Rashba and the Ritva, how do we get to the conclusion that there's no Rebbe Zeraisa, is critical not just for the sugya kedushin avav, but it really impacts on all of Maseches Kedushin, how to understand what the essence of Kedushin is. So from tomorrow, we'll touch a little bit more on this Rashba and the Ritva, then look around for other possible answers to this question, what happened to the Rebbe Zeraisa, and then see why there were some Rishonim who were so bothered with the Kasha that they almost changed the whole case. They have to go back to the drawing board and rewrite the case of the Kadosh Barnaz Milva to make sure we don't run into a problem in terms of Rebbe Zeraisa. Okay.